Happy April Fool. No? Haven't been fooled yet? Can we adjust sound a little bit? Sound a little bit down? Thank you. Very good. All right, let's start in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today actually is the last part of the series that we started, Foundations. And this actually, something very important, we don't discuss a lot, and actually a question that everybody has. Like this is, today we're going to answer a question that in everybody's mind. So we have been studying the foundation of spiritual growth, and the foundation was our relationship with the Holy Trinity, Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, God's, the love of God the Father, abiding in the Logos, the Word of God, and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask a question. If we have perfect relationship with God, is that it? Is it going to be done? We're going to be okay? We're going to be good? We're going to be good? What do you think? We're going to be good? How about Adam? He was in a perfect relationship with God until good, until temptation. Very good. Not until Eve. Until temptation. Why? Because of the free will, the free will that he has. After Adam's fall, our nature became corrupted nature. So even if you have a perfect relationship with God, you know his love, you're good with God, there's something wrong with you and with me, with anyone, with any saint. Why? Because the nature became corrupt. See this verse? It says, then the Lord saw, this is right after the fall. This is Genesis 6. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And look at this. And that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Was that back then, or is still the case? It's still the case. You know, this is me and you. This is me and you. Every intent of our heart is corrupt. That's after the fall. How about after Christ and after receiving the new nature and all of this? Did this change? Yes and no. This is very, very important. This is a very touchy subject. This is a subject everyone asks. When will I quit sin? Will it ever happen that one day I will never sin again? And I'll say, that's it. I'm a holy person. You know, that's it. It's a very, very difficult question, by the way. So the answer is in three chapters in the Epistle of St. Paul to Romans, okay? We're going to take some passages, but these passages are very important. I hope you keep these in with you. Keep this handout, you will need it. He says, he gives the problem in chapter 6 and 7, and a solution is in chapter 8. So chapter 6, it says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. When we were baptized, we were buried with Christ. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We walk in a new life. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Did you see what he said? He didn't say that we will never sin. Did you notice what he said? We will never be slaves to sin. He didn't say we will never sin. He said we will no longer be slaves to sin. And then he goes on and says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. He didn't say never sin, but he said, let sin not reign. Don't give control to the sin. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, that your member as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You will never come to a point where you cannot get rid of sin. Sin shall never have dominion over you. But he didn't say that you will not sin. For you are not under the law, but under grace. And then he comes in chapter 7, and it gets even more interesting and more intense. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual. The law is the law of Moses, the commandments. But I am carnal, and I want you to remember the word carnal. I am carnal, sold under sin, for what I am doing, I do not understand. If you're confused, if you feel bad, read these. It's going to make you feel good. If St. Paul himself is saying that, what I'm doing, I don't understand. Were you ever asked the question, why did you do that? That was not smart at all. The answer is, I don't know. I don't know. And this is the right answer. He says here, I don't understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. The things that I really want to do, I don't practice. But what I hate, that I do. Do you identify with that? For I know that in me, that in my flesh, nothing good dwells. In me, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me. Yes, I want to do what's right. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me. As if inside of me, there is another person. Do you feel that? There's another evil person inside of me. Another carnal person living inside of me. For I delight in the law of God. I love God's command. I want to follow God's command. I delight in the law of God. According to the inward man inside of me, that's what I think. And bringing me to captivity. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. And see this, he's fed up and he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I hate it. Have you said that before? I hate it. Why is that? Am I double-minded? Am I crazy? Am I schizophrenic? What's wrong with me? Why do I do this? Two people living in me? Yes. Yes. I thank God, and that's he's going to go into chapter 8, which is the solution. I thank God that through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I did not choose this picture, okay? Someone did it for me. I didn't do this presentation. So, two people really living in me. Maybe I wouldn't Anthony actually did it for me. Two people living in me. And that's according to the Bible. The old man, write this down. Old man sold under sin and carnal. Old man sold under sin and carnal, and also the new man, which is the new creation in Christ, which is spiritual. What is the old man? the old man is in your soul. You know, you have soul, body, and spirit. The soul is your program, is your software. Your software has a virus. And the virus can kick in at any time, ready to work at any time. Just need the right commands, and it's going to kick off. What is the soul? What is your soul? Do you know what's the soul? Because you have body, and you know the spirit, which is, you know, the spirit of God is, you know, when you die, your spirit is going to live. But what is the soul? Because everything bad is in the soul, is in the program, in the software. What is the soul? The soul is something hypothetical. It's, you know, you can't grasp it. It's where your thoughts, where your character, where your will is, your emotions, your feelings, all of this is in your soul. When your body sins, it's not actually the body who commits the sin. It's the soul that's inside of you. It's the software that gives the command for the body to work. The body really isn't the problem. The body isn't the problem. You know why? See a dead person. He has a body, right? Why doesn't a sin person, why doesn't a dead person sin if the body is the problem? It's not the body. It's the soul. It's the software that makes the hardware work. That's why a dead person can never sin. And your body one day is never going to sin. When? When you die, you're going to stop sinning. You know why? Because your soul is gone. Your soul disappeared. It's no longer there. So in order not to sin, you have to... Listen, this is very important. In order not to sin, you have to die. Okay. Are you ready? Ready? Okay. So we'll do something simple that Jesus taught us, that death is actually denying the soul. You can actually practice being dead while you're alive. It's dying to yourself, denying yourself. That's exactly what Jesus said when he said that if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Himself, his soul, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Is this easy? Once they asked the spiritual father, how do I deny myself? How do I die from myself? And he said, very easy. You just go to the fourth floor, even higher. Back then, fourth floor was the highest. Go to the fourth floor, throw yourself. You're going to die. He said, what? Yeah. But really, should I do that? Yeah. He said, it's the only, if you want to die, this is the only way you die. Or as similar to it, which is really denying yourself. It's just as hard as throwing yourself from the fourth floor. Who can do that? It's impossible. Who can deny himself? The good news comes in chapter 8. Here's the good news. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, for indeed cannot be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. What is the good news here? What is the solution here? What is the solution? How to die to myself? Because unless the soul is dead, there is no way. We will be enemies to God. We will always continue to live in sin. How? From this passage, what did you get? The only solution is that the Holy Spirit inside of us will help us to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. The Holy Spirit in us will push the soul aside, will kick it, will step on it, will help us to do the impossible, what people could not do in the Old Testament. That's why we are baptized, and that's why we receive the Holy Spirit, to help us do the impossible, which is denying the soul. Now, I want you to know that this will help you a lot in understanding the New Testament, especially the epistles of St. Paul. He talks a lot about the flesh, a lot. And if you have an NIV, you might not see flesh at all. In NIV, they put evil desire instead of flesh. So, what the Bible is telling us, the good news is the Holy Spirit that is given to you will help you to deny the soul, to deny the flesh. What is the flesh? The evil desire. When you read the word flesh in the Bible, don't think the flesh. As I said, the body is not a sin by itself. There's no sin in the body. But it's the soul that controls the body. It's the software. It's the carnal thing, the flesh, or the evil desire, and the carnally minded. The Holy Spirit will help us to lead us, being led by the Spirit, and not led by the flesh. What is the flesh? The evil desire. That the evil desire should not take control. The Spirit of God inside of you will help you to accomplish that. But, the Holy Spirit will help me and lead me as long as I'm willing to deny myself and my evil desires daily. Listen to this. You will never stop sinning until you hate sin. How to hate sin? This is what we're talking about. Listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of me, hating the evil desires in me daily. Figuring it out, catching it, catching this thought, this evil intention, this thing that's moving inside of me, hating that, rejecting that, makes the Holy Spirit work in me full time and help me so much. God cannot help you without you. Did you get it? So the good news is, the evil desire will always be there as long as you are alive. But thank God that He sent us the Holy Spirit to help us and to lead us and to make us spiritual people. But that's not given. That's not granted. As long as every day I deny the flesh, deny the soul, deny the evil desire inside of me. At least knowing that. You know what's our problem? Is whenever I put my feet on the right track, I think that sin is gone. And I'm a holy person, and the wings are up there, and I'm an angel. That's the beginning of the fall. Why? Because I do not recognize that as long as I'm in the flesh, the evil desire is still in me. Is still inside of me. It's never going to go away. How about if you're a monk for 20 years? 30 years? It's only when you die. Only when you die. Because it's only when I die, I practice dying daily. Dying to what? To the evil desire. Hating it. Rejecting it. For example, every day, we get thoughts of hate. We get thoughts of hate. Even hating evil, even hating something bad, hating the other team, you know, hating the other guys, competing, stuff like this. The evil desires grow little by little. If I don't catch them there, they're going to grow. I'm not actually going to fight the evil desires. The Holy Spirit in me is going to do the fight. All what I need to do is recognize it, tag it. Tag it. Tag this thought. Tag this thing. Get it out. Let the Holy Spirit get it out. We love to eat, right? You know, if you're a normal person like me, we love to eat and eat good food, right? That's fine. But a lot of time we hate to pray. Why? It's the evil desires inside of me, pushing me to do that. The soul will never, if you ever think that one day you will say, I'm into prayer, and I have no problem praying at any time, you will be mistaken. This day will never come. You will have to always push the evil desire away so, you know, so that the Spirit can grow and the Holy Spirit can work within you. A lot of times, you know, we're waiting for this to come. It's not going to come. It's that the soul is not going away until we die. That's why Jesus said, deny himself, carry his cross, and follow me daily. Why? That's the truth. That's the truth. Sometimes we think it's a step. Once I pass this step, I'm going to be good. I'm sorry to tell you, no. As long as you're alive, you know, if you think you are standing, as the Bible says, watch out, lest you fall. Why? Because you are in the flesh. You're still in the flesh, you know. Every day you want to be first and not be last. Your soul wants to be first. Your spirit wants you to be last. Who are you going to listen to? And the more you listen to the spirit, the more you push down the soul and the flesh, the carnal thing, the evil desire. As I said, it's going to end only by death. Then, let's get to know how to do this practically. St. Paul here in Galatians 5 continue with the same manner and says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the evil desires of this world. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Same thing. You have two things fighting each other. And in the end, you don't do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the Spirit, the flesh, are evident, which are, listen to this, these are the works of the flesh. Adultery, whether practically or intentionally, or thoughts. Fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, as I was telling you, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, anger, selfish ambitions, just being selfish, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, these were the flesh, the soul. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Again, as such, there is no law. And those, listen to this, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Put it to death. Put it to death. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. As I may have told you before, the fathers of the church said, it's exactly like an eagle tied to a dog with a rope. Eagle tied to a dog with a rope. What is the eagle? The spirit. What is the dog? The flesh. What is the flesh? The evil desire. Not necessarily this. It's not the flesh. I told you, it's the software. It's the program. It's the soul. Spirit is tied with a dog with a rope. If you have a strong eagle, very easily can carry the dog. And you are led by the spirit. But if the dog is strong and fat and heavy, it's going to pull down the eagle. And they will keep fighting till we die. What is death? When this rope is cut. Spirit goes up and the flesh goes down. When this battle is going to end? Never. But our job is to make sure that we are led by the spirit and the flesh and the soul is not in control. How to do that? I give you three principles in general that you keep in mind. Three general principles. The first one is forcefully. Forcefully. And please keep this in mind. Forcefully. I don't want to pray. How do I pray? Forcefully. Of course. If you think one day you're going to love prayer, maybe it's going to happen like one day after a retreat or Holy Week. But after that, no. There is always a fight. And if you are just going to listen to what you want and what your soul wants, you're always going to be down. Forcefully, exactly like taming an animal. Taming an animal. How you do it? You convince the animal that, you know, you need to be nice. You don't bite people. No. You force it on him, on it. You force it. The evil desires and that we have, it's exactly like the evil desires of any animal, believe it or not. Don't you sometimes think that way? Am I an animal? You know what's the answer? Yes. I'm not saying you. I'm saying even me. Yeah? Sometimes after I eat a strong meal, I eat like a pig. Yeah, we are. Pigs, dogs, whatever it is, you know. That's not my words. It's the words of St. Paul here. The animal is the old man, the evil desire, the thing that want to take me down. Can you teach your soul to love God? Yes. To obey the eagle? Yes. But it needs a lot of training. And the training usually comes by force. You know, our problem is we don't do anything except we're convinced. I promise you, if you want to do yourself something good, can I convince you that death is something good? Absolutely not. I cannot convince you that death is something good. You know, same way, you will never be convinced. You will never be convinced that, you know, spiritual life is great. And, you know, we hear it all the time. We listen to it. We hear it again. Yeah, you're right. I need to do that. Yeah, that's the right thing. It lasts for a day or two. Forcefully, force myself. If you really want the Spirit to lead, you have to force yourself to be in a spiritual manner. I'm not saying that this is going to be forever and ever, and it's just going to be hard all the time. No. But the problem is, and I'm going to tell you actually, the problems that we do, that's why we go back. You know, we regress. We go forward and we regress. You have to keep the force going every single day. If you don't force yourself to spend the quiet time with God every day, you think it's going to happen? You think it's going to happen? Yeah, maybe when you're convinced and, you know, when you're energized a little bit, you can do it a day or two, a week or two. But believe me, you know, you need to teach your soul to obey your spirit. As that's what the fathers, you know, taught us, that it's going to happen forcefully. It's, you know, pushing it. The second is actually consistently. You know, the consistency is something we lack. Something we lack. You know that kids, when they're young, they are closer to, I don't know if I should say that. You know, I should say it. Actually, some psychologists, people say that. Kids, when they're young, they're closer to animals than human beings. You know? I mean, it's a fact. Like, look at a newborn. How different is he or she from a puppy? Eat, go to the bathroom, stuff like this. Not a lot different. And when they grow, maybe around 75 years old, they get out of it. Just kidding. But when they're young, you know how to teach your kids to do the right thing? The worst thing ever is when you try to convince them. Convince them. You know, this is, you know, what you're doing is not right. You know, candies are not good for you. I mean, it's good if they are convinced and they have, you know, sanity and they can respond. But usually, no, this is wrong. You do it, you get time out, that's it. But how about if you get time out one time, and another time you don't get a time out? And another time you get a time out, another time you don't. One time you get in trouble, mom says something, dad says something else. What you end up doing? Being loose. That's what we do. We push sometimes, and then we let ourselves loose. Loose. Once you let things loose and keeping on and off, again, the soul, the flesh, the evil desire, as we said, it's like an animal. How you teach it? You have to be forcefully and consistently. Consistency is very, very important. If you want to do your quiet time daily, you got to keep it up for at least 3 to 6 weeks, every single day, no matter what, until it becomes a second nature, until it becomes part of you, until you know that's it. Mom and dad, they're never going to change their mind. They said it's wrong yesterday, it's wrong today, it's wrong tomorrow, it's going to stay wrong forever. Consistency. Lack of consistency, actually, that's what actually hurts kids more than anything else. And the third is actually gradually. That's also something very important. A lot of times we push gas and then we relax. Push a lot of gas, you know, and then relax. We have this actually problem. Some people, we either fast till the evening or indulge, you know, eat like pigs. We either stay 10 hours at a church in Holy Week to pray, or stay 2-3 weeks without doing anything. The soul will never learn anything except that I do whatever I want to do in the end. Consistency and gradually. Meaning, like, let's be practical. Even being practical is very, very, very important with your soul. What I can do, I can't really focus much. But what I can do, I can have like quiet time for 15 minutes. Good. Keep it up. Keep it up. That's fine. You want to increase that? Increase 1 minute at a time. 2 minutes at a time. And stay months and months for that. Why? You want to make it a second nature. You want to make it a second nature. You want the soul to obey the spirit so much. So you got to do it gradually, or else you're going to lose it. Or else you're going to lose it. That's actually what the fathers of the church, you know, taught us. Like, when someone is learning, they don't give him a lot of things to do, something much more what he can afford. Even if he wants to, sometimes they stop them. Why? Because it's not good. Just do it gradually. Gradually and grow little by little. So forcefully, consistently, gradually. And that's what we mean by spiritual growth. You want to grow? You want to grow spiritually? Train your spirit to spend 15 minutes with God every day in the morning. And then add this 5 minutes every year. 5 minutes throughout the whole year. Very gradually. You know, after five years, you're going to be close to 45 minutes time with God. The problem is, today I want to spend an hour, and tomorrow I don't want to spend anything. I'm listening to my flesh. And actually, the devil will help you to do that. He will help you to do something extra today and tomorrow loose. Why? He's messing up the software. He's messing up the system. He's confusing the soul from inside. You know what I'm trying to say? So this is something very important, and this is something that we want to learn. Let me introduce something to you that we want to focus on after Easter. It's something called spiritual log. I used that when I was in high school and college, but it was much smaller than this. Basically, it's a log what you do every day. So, I prayed today for 10 minutes. And I did this reading. And I did that. Because this log is going to show you how you do things. This is actually how you train animals. Yeah, it's like how you put kids on meals, you know, in the hospital when they get like a new baby. They give them something like this log. When they ate, and when they went to the bathroom, and stuff like this. Why? We don't want to mess up the system. We want to make sure that the system is running, you know, well. We want to make sure that the soul will obey the spirit. We want to make sure the soul will obey the spirit. Okay? So, I really encourage you to use that. If you go training, exercise, muscle building, any of this, you gotta use those things. Either on a piece of paper or, you know, you wanna keep it in mind. You know, now it's like, you know, 12 pounds, it's 15 pounds now. And it's like for a week or two, 15 pounds, and then we're going to 17 pounds. And keep it up. There's no other way. There's no other way. If you leave it up to what I feel is the worst thing. Is the worst thing. Sometimes you'll feel good. And sometimes you'll feel you want to pray, you want to spend time with God. But other times you won't. And again, it's messing up the system. It's messing up the soul. And we want the soul, the flesh, to be obedient to the spirit. I really pray that you keep what I said in mind, because that's how we fought. You know, the devil really wants to confuse us. And wants us to feel either good, we're good people, or we're bad people. From what I'm telling you, the truth is, I have a carnal person inside of me, and I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. And the more I give leadership to the Holy Spirit, and the more that I train the carnal, that's why the church gives us the fasting, the prayer, and in a very organized fashion. The problem is we mess up the organization. So we're going to send this by email. You have it here. You do it manually, whatever you want to do it. But this is part of our spiritual campaign and the growth campaign. So we want to use this during Holy 50. You know, keep it in mind, keep it in your desk, keep it in your Bible, you know, and get ready to use that. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand up for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the biggest gift ever, which is your Holy Spirit, Lord, to work in us, to lead us, to bless us, to make us holy. Don't let us be discouraged, Lord, when we're down. Don't let us be discouraged, Lord, when we're carnal and when we obey the flesh. But give us to get up on our feet, Lord, and teach us with your Holy Spirit how to be trained, how to be trained and how to have a disciplined soul, how to make a room in our souls for you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that's willing to guide, it's willing to wash away the sins and to renew us every single day. Give us, Lord, to be renewed with your Holy Spirit and to learn and to teach our souls, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, how to obey you and how to follow you, Lord, and how to follow you even with all our hearts. Purify our hearts, Lord, and our souls and our minds and our spirits. Give us to be totally yours, Lord. Give us to be true images of Christ for everyone around us, Lord. Give us to be disciplined children for you, Lord, not led by the flesh, but led by the Spirit. Through the prayers and intercession of Holy Mother St. Mary, St. Mark, all your saints, hear us, Lord, when we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us from evil one. For in the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you. Just to